Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yankees, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, and I'm your host, Don. Thanks for listening. Today, I'll be discussing the New York Yankees season in review and comparisons to the 1998 Yanks. So let's go ahead and get started. With the New York Rangers season ended, and thinking that I need a few days to kind of digest it all and think about where the Rangers need to go, I want to talk a little bit about the Yankees season, because the Yanks are having just an absolutely tremendous season. After 60 games, the Yanks are an unbelievable 44-16. I mean, if you think about that, that is just absolutely awesome and incredible. They lead the American League East by 7-plus games. It changes every night. They have the biggest lead in any division. They obviously have the best record in baseball. It's spectacular. It's backed up by some outstanding starting pitching from this 2022 Yankee team and some pretty great hitting as well. And I wanted to talk about if I think this team is really that good or if there's a bit of smoke and mirrors going on here. And we're going to get into that in a minute, but the short version is that, in my opinion, the starting pitching does cover up a lot of issues, but this team absolutely does seem to have something special. So let's talk a little bit about detail as that goes. And the starting pitching, right, and the Yankee starting pitching has been just absolutely spectacular. And great starting pitching. It has hit a speed bump this past week, but overall it's been astounding, right? 1 through 5, the starters have absolutely excelled. And I know this past week they got roughed up a little bit, but 1 through 5 the entire year, except for this last week, the starting pitchers have been absolutely awesome. Matter of fact, you could easily make the argument that Gerrit Cole has been the worst of the five. That's how good the starting pitching has been, that Gerrit Cole is the worst of the five pitchers. Still, it's only June, right? And the next 2 weeks should tell us a lot, in my opinion, about the starters if you look at the schedule. So starting Tuesday, right, I'm recording this on Monday, the Yanks play the Rays, then they play the Blue Jays, then they play the Rays again, and then they play the Astros. Now, if the starters come out of those four series looking good still, then I'm going to officially really believe in this starting staff. At this point, it's definitely a magic carpet ride of starting pitching for the Yanks, and it's just wonderful to see. It's great, because every time a new pitcher goes out, you're confident in them. That said, the great pitching that the Yanks have, the starting pitching anyway, has covered up a few concerning things for me that mostly go unnoticed, and that's what happens when a team is winning at the clip the Yankees are, which is, hey, they're winning, right? So great starting pitching covers up lots and lots and lots of things. So let's take a look at this year's team, a few things that it is covering up, right? Number one, the first thing, this supposedly great defense, which the announcers keep citing, look how great the defense is, and showing this stat and that stat. In my mind, the defense is fine. I in the beginning of the year, it looked really good. I don't see any great defense from the Yanks anymore. I see average defense, and it's coming back to reality. The Yanks, if we look around, right, are mostly improved at catcher defensively. That's where the Yankees this year are way, way, way better than last year's team, right? They're much, much better with Trevino back there, and it's not even close than Sanchez. Just removing Sanchez from the team and putting Trevino there completely upgrades the defense. So that, hands down, is better, you know, for the Yanks defensively. Higgy is, he gets cited for his defense a lot, but I don't know. I don't find him to be some great defensive catcher. Again, he seems average at best. Trevino does seem very good defensively. We have improved defensively at shortstop because, you know, Gleyber Torres was a utter disaster last year there. But again, IKF is not great defensively there. He's just okay, right? We heard he was really good defensively, and he actually won a Gold Glove at third base. But apparently, he seems just okay at short so far. So, you know, again, I'm trying to cite this great quote-unquote defense that everybody keeps talking about, right? I don't know. IKF looks okay, right? He's making some errors and missing some plays that others would make. I mean, anyway, we'll just move on here. We are upgraded at first base, for sure, with Anthony Rizzo. He was on the team last year, but only played some of the time. Now that he's playing full-time there, we are better, absolutely better there. Second base, we are far, far worse than we were last year, because second base is where Gleyber Torres is playing now, and he is just a terrible defender, no matter where he plays. I can't even watch him. He's that bad. He throws the ball away all the time. He's lazy. He's slow. He doesn't bend all the way over. His defense at second is just a big, big downgrade over anyone else. So we have regressed there. Hicks is not a great outfielder at all anymore. He misjudges things. And I'm sorry, every year he plays in the outfield that's worse. So that seems like a downgrade every year we go with him playing. I mean, we can call it a downgrade in left field since he now plays left more than center. And since Judge is playing center nowadays, Stanton playing the outfield, at best, he kind of misjudged three different balls in about three innings the other night. You know, so when we talk about this great defense, you know, and I'm looking at IKF being okay, I'm looking at Gleyber being terrible, I'm looking at Hicks running around and Stanton, great defense doesn't come to mind for me. You know, we have a great first baseman defensively. We have a pretty damn good catcher. Judge is good defensively. Gallo's okay. So there's some good defensive players. The rest I find average. Donaldson's pretty good defensively. IKF is pretty good defensively, you know, but you know, that doesn't translate to me to being great defense. So that seems to be a little bit overstated. And when we miss balls and when Gleyber kicks this, throws that away, doesn't bend over, Stanton misjudges balls. Again, great starting pitching covers up a lot of things. And number one is the supposedly great defense, which in my opinion is not great. The second thing great starting pitching kind of covers up is the poor relief pitching that the Yankees have. And I'm sorry, this was another thing early in the year that was just stated as being great. But boy, oh boy, Chad Green has been just terrible, awful. He's like the bane of my existence for the last 2 years. And he's gone. He's hurt now. Loaiza has been terrible. He was supposed to be great coming into this year. Chapman appears like he's done as a closer. I don't even want him in the game anymore. I mean, he looks so bad. Lost his probably closing position, right? Michael King has had the wheels come off after a good start. So great starting pitching covers up awful relief by Green, Loaiza, Chapman, and lately Michael King, right? So that's covered up. The third thing it's covering up is the hitters still have too many strikeouts in key spots, although you don't notice it as much because they're winning. It's less so than last year, right? But, you know, Hicks in big spots, strikeout. Gallo in big spots, come on here. Higgy, come on. So they're still doing it. It's just a little bit less so. And again, it's all covered up because, you know, if the starting pitching has given up zero runs or one run, then it's the seventh inning, missing those balls in key spots. And when you're at the plate, it doesn't seem as bad as when you're down by two or three runs. So starting pitching is just a panacea for everything that's bad about the Yanks. And the Yanks don't have much bad at all about them. But I just wanted to note that it is covering up some concerning things in my mind, such as intermittently shaky defense, poor relief pitching, and still too many strikeouts in key spots. But it's okay, because great starting pitching is really about the best thing a team can actually have. You had to pick one thing. For me, that would be it. There is some really great things about this team. There's a great will to win on this team. The team is finding different ways to win every night. They're scoring 18 runs. They're winning 2-0. They're coming back in games. They're really finding ways to win. They lead Major League Baseball, obviously, in home runs by a country mile. You know, not in batting average, but, you know, they do lead in home runs. They have the best ERA in the majors. They're in the top five in fewest errors somehow this year. I expect that to get worse, though, with every day that Gleyber Torres plays. This team has characters, role players, you know, lots of times, you know, that's what makes great teams, right? When you notice all the great teams, there's always like these one or two characters on the team and these role players. Like they have the characters like Nasty Nestor Cortez, who just is spectacular and probably an all-star this year. Role players like Mr. Mustache himself, Matt Carpenter. He's played 10 games and his mustache has 6 home runs. So damn, he's really, you know, quite the role player, and he's sort of come out of nowhere. And things like that, when they happen, sort of lead to really great things, you know, for teams. So there's lots of little signs that, you know, this Yankee team could be great. They had, and no longer do at the moment, Tim LeCastro, who was a speed demon galore until he got hurt earlier in the year. I forget at the moment how long he's going to be out, but he was quite the spark plug for the Yanks and really another great role player. They have a new closer, Clay Holmes, who came out of nowhere to completely, utterly dominate the American League. 27 consecutive innings without giving up a run, which is just unbelievable. Like 23 appearances in a row without giving up a run. I mean, who does that? The Yankees have confidence. They have camaraderie, spirit, and again, most importantly for now, great starting pitching, which again covers up anything else. The team should go very, very far this year for sure. Now, all that said, you know, let's take a minute and rein this in a little bit here, right? Since the 2022 Yankees, you know, their record is so good, 44-16, this team keeps getting compared to the 98 Yankees just because of the record. So I wanted to take a closer look at the two Yankee teams, the 98 team and this year's team, and see how they compare. Spoiler, the 98 team is way better. And we're going to look position by position and go ahead and compare the teams. So let's go ahead and start with starting pitching, since that seems to be this year's Yankee strength. We're looking at the 1998 team first. They had Andy Pettit, Wells, El Duque, David Cohn, and their fifth pitcher was Hideki Arabu, who was only 13-9 that year. So Pettit, Wells, El Duque, David Cohn, and Arabu, and the 2022 team, you know, Cole, Talion, Severino, Cortez, and Montgomery. The edge here, it's mostly even, but I would give the edge to 1998 team, especially in the playoffs, because as you know, when you get to the playoffs, you only pitch your top three pitchers, maybe four sometimes. And by the way, I would take Andy Pettit over any pitcher the Yanks had on this year's team, and probably any pitcher the Yanks have ever had, maybe except for Ron Guidry, in any big game in the playoffs. Andy Pettit was the absolute most money pitcher you'd ever see. And if anyone can remember back to him pitching, you know, he still to this day, the Yanks' last championship is 2009, and was the starting pitcher in every clinching game in every series in that postseason. So he won the division series clinching game. He was a starter and the winning pitcher in the American League Championship Series, and he was the starter and the winner in the World Series winner. He always beat Boston in big games. I always wanted Pettit pitching against Boston. He was clutch. He was absolutely great. His World Series against the Braves as a rookie in 1996, he was just beyond spectacular, outpitching Smoltz to win 1-0 in that game. Just a unbelievable pitcher. And I'm sorry, Pettit, I will take over every pitcher. And you need to say, David Wells, come on. Perfect game, was a great pitcher. El Duque, are you kidding me? David Cohn, perennial all-star and Hall of Fame pitcher. I mean, come on. I know this year's pitchers are good, and they certainly are, right? Cole, Talion, Severino, Cortez, Montgomery, but come on, guys. David Cohn, Andy Pettit, Wells, El Duque. You have to say it's mostly even, but you have to give the edge to 1998. I'm sorry. Catchers. 1998, we had Jorge Posada and Girardi. And this year we have Jose Trevino and Higgy. Give the edge to 1998. I was never a big Posada fan when it came to defensive play, of course. Girardi was a very good defensive catcher. Posada always could hit, though, especially at the end of his career. He was a switch hitter, and he hit very well in 98. Trevino has really surprised. Higgy is not good at all. 1998. First base. Anthony Rizzo this year, who has played well, but come on, Tino Martinez, first base, 1998, huge edge in 1998. Tino Martinez, as good as Rizzo is, Tino Martinez was as good defensively easily. He was a perennial defensive all-star at first base and just a tremendous, tremendous hitter, Tino. He would hit 280 every year. He drove in, I think, 120, 130 runs in 98, you know, 25, 30, 35 homers every year, Tino. Just consistently awesome. I'm sorry, I will take Tino every year over Rizzo. And I very much like Rizzo, but Tino hits 50 points higher and is just drives in more runs and is as good defensively as Rizzo. Second base, Chuck Knobloch over Gleyber Torres or DJ, right? So it's hard to call this one because it depends who starts. If you're talking about Torres, who plays most of the time at second base, there's a gigantic edge to the 1998 team. Just gigantic, right? It's almost even if we only count DJ playing at second base. And even then, it might be Chuck Knobloch, who was a perennial all-star, one of the best leadoff people ever. He was actually very good defensively before he started to get the yips at second base. People don't remember that because all they remember is, you know, inability to throw to first base after a certain time. But before that, he was spectacular and a perennial all-star and still to this day remains one of the best leadoff hitters in history. So I'm sorry, Edge, 1998. Shortstop is a joke, right? Derek Jeter against IKF. Come on. 1998 wins by a country mile. I'm not even going to talk about it, but come on. Third base, Scott Brosius in 1998. Donaldson, 2022. Big edge to 1998 Scott Brosius. He was had a tremendous year. He was the MVP of the World Series. He was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. That great defensive play. He had 300 that year. He was awesome. Right field is a tough one to call, right? Because I'm calling Aaron Judge there because everyone gets moved over. But just for sake of comparison, Paul O'Neill versus Aaron Judge. This one is kind of a push, right? If somebody put a gun to my head, I'd have to actually say I want Paul O'Neill. He's a slightly better fielder. He hits for a higher average. He has way less strikeouts than Judge does. And O'Neill was a very, very clutch hitter. And it's tough this year to compare because there's a certain recency bias, right, with Aaron Judge where he's having an absolutely off-the-charts year. So if you took just this year versus O'Neill's career, you'd probably say, meh, maybe Judge. But if you take Judge's career versus O'Neill's career, I will take O'Neill's career. And O'Neill has an absolute cannon for an arm, just like Judge does. He's accurate or more accurate than Judge is. He plays a slightly better right field. He hits for a higher average. He's very, very clutch, where Judge, throughout his career, has struck out a lot in some situations, although this year, again, it's not the same. This one's tough. We'll call it a push, but I would actually prefer O'Neill, I think. Center field. Bernie Williams in 98, Aaron Hicks in 2022. There is a massive, massive, massive edge for 1998 here. A gigantic edge defensively and offensively. What are you going to say? Bernie Williams is about 10,000 times better than Aaron Hicks. Left field. The 98 team had Chad Curtis, Shane Spencer, Ricky Lede. This year's team has Joey Gallo, we'll call it, in left. Edge, 1998. Come on. Anyone who you compare against Gallo, I'm sorry. I'm going to give the edge to that other person. Come on. Relievers, 1998. Mariano Rivera. I really shouldn't have to go any farther than this because, you know, once you say that name, that's it, right? But then beyond that, Mariano Rivera, they still had Jeff Nelson, Mike Stanton, Graham Lloyd, and Ramiro Mendoza, who people forget about, was one of the better middle relievers in the 90s. Just absolutely spectacular. So Mariano, Jeff Nelson, Mike Stanton, Graham Lloyd, Ramiro Mendoza. This 2022 team has Chapman, Holmes, who's really good, Chad Green, Mike King, Clark Schmidt, the Weisiga, Peralta, and a parade of others. Come on. Huge, huge edge to the 98 relievers. Right. So if we review these real quick, come on. Starting pitching, we gave mostly even, but I would take the 98 team with Pettit and David Cone and others. Catcher, I would take 98. Posada. First base, I'm taking Tino in a huge edge, right? 98 team. Second base, Chuck Knobloch, I'm taking over Torres. Come on. Shortstop, Jeter by a country mile, 98 team. Third base, I'm taking Brosius in a big way over Donaldson. Right field is very close. You can call it a push. O'Neill and Aaron Judge, you're not going wrong either way. Center field, massive edge in 98, Bernie Williams. Left field, I'm taking Curtis, Shane Spencer, anyone over Joey Gallo. And the relievers, a huge, huge edge in 98. Mariano, Nelson over this year's, you know, problem relief pen, except for Holmes. So it's pretty clear in my mind that the 1998 team was superior in just about every way to this 2022 team. So we hear these comparisons, right? We hear this, this and that. Come on, guys. Let's get grounded here. If you actually look at this team and look at what they're doing, the record is great. There's a lot to be proud of, and I think they're going to go really far this year. But let's just calm down for the moment. Let's get into July and August before we start, you know, talking about just how great this team is. The 2022 team, though, does have something, I have to say, something special that just may give way to another championship. I hope so. All that said, let's check back in about 2 weeks after we play some of those top teams I mentioned, and let's reassess just how badass this 2022 team really is. I want to thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends all about it, and I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, have a good day.